It is both a time for repentance and a time for thanks, intones the mayor. Then he reads the list of past District 12 victors. In 74 years, we have had exactly two. Only one is still alive. Hamish Abernathy, a paunchy, middle-aged man who at this moment appears hollering something unintelligible, staggers onto the stage and falls into the third chair. He's drunk. Very. The crowd responds with its token applause, but he's confused and tries to give Effie Trinket a big hug, which she barely manages to fend off. The mayor looks distressed. Since all of this is being televised right now, District 12 is the laughingstock of Pan Em, and he knows it. He quickly tries to pull the attention back to the reaping by introducing Effie Trinket. Bright and bubbly as ever, Effie Trinket trots to the podium and gives her signature, "Happy Hunger Games, and may the odds be ever in your favor." Her pink hair must be a wig because her curls have shifted slightly off center since her encounter with Hamish. She goes on a bit about what an honor it is to be here, although everyone knows she's just aching to get bumped up to a better district where they have proper victors, not drunks who molest you in front of the entire nation. Through the crowd, I spot Gail looking back at me with a ghost of a smile. As reapings go, is one at least has a slight entertainment factor. But suddenly, I am thinking of Gail and his 42 names in that big glass ball and how the odds are not in his favor. Not compared to a lot of the boys. And maybe he's thinking the same thing about me because his face darkens and he turns away. But there are still thousands of slips. I wish I could whisper to him. It's time for the drawing. Effie Trinket says, as she always does, "Ladies first," and crosses to the glass ball with the girls' names. She reaches in, digs her hand deep into the ball, and pulls out a slip of paper. The crowd draws in a collective breath, and then you can hear a pin drop. And I'm feeling nauseous and so desperately hoping that it's not me, that it's not me, that it's not me. Effie Trinket crosses back to the podium, smooths the slip of paper, and reads out the name in a clear voice. And it's not me. It's Primrose Everdeen. Chapter 2. One time, when I was in a blind in a tree, waiting motionless for game to wander by, I dozed off and fell 10 feet to the ground, landing on my back. It was as if the impact had knocked every wisp of air from my lungs, and I lay there struggling to inhale, to exhale, to do anything. That's how I feel now. Trying to remember how to breathe, unable to speak, totally stunned as the name bounces around the inside of my skull. Someone is gripping my arm. A boy from the seam, and I think maybe I started to fall and he caught me. There must have been some mistake. This can't be happening. Prim was one slip of paper in thousands. Her chances of being chosen so remote that I'd not even bothered to worry about her. Hadn't I done everything? Taken the tesserae, refused to let her do the same? One slip? One slip in thousands. The odds had been entirely in her favor, but it hadn't mattered. Somewhere far away, I can hear the crowd murmuring unhappily as they always do when a 12-year-old gets chosen because no one thinks this is fair. And then I see her, the blood drained from her face, hands clenched in fists at her sides, walking with stiff, small steps up toward the stage, passing me, and I see the back of her blouse has become untucked and hangs out over her skirt. It's this detail, the untucked blouse forming a ducktail, that brings me back to myself. Prim! The strangled cry comes out of my throat and my muscles begin to move again. Prim! I don't need to shove through the crowd. The other kids make way immediately, allowing me a straight path to the stage. I reach her just as she is about to mount the steps. With one sweep of my arm, I push her behind me. "I volunteer," I gasp. "I volunteer as tribute." There's some confusion on the stage. District 12 hasn't had a volunteer in decades, and the protocol has become rusty. The rule is that once a tribute's name has been pulled from the ball, another eligible boy, if a boy's name has been read, or girl, if a girl's name has been read, can step forward to take his or her place. In some districts, in which winning the reaping is such a great honor, people are eager to risk their lives, the volunteering is complicated. But in District 12, where the word tribute is pretty much synonymous with the word corpse, volunteers are all but extinct. "Lovely," says Effie Trinket, "but I believe there's a small matter of introducing the reaping winner and then asking for volunteers, and if one does come forth, then we, She trails off, unsure herself.
"What does it matter?"
says the mayor. He's looking at me with a pained expression on his face. He doesn't know me really, but there's a faint recognition there. I am the girl who brings the strawberries. The girl his daughter might have spoken of on occasion. The girl who 5 years ago stood huddled with her mother and sister as he presented her, the oldest child, with a Medal of Valor. A medal for her father, vaporized in the mines. Does he remember that?
"What does it matter?" he repeats gruffly. "Let her come forward."
Prim is screaming hysterically behind me. She's wrapped her skinny arms around me like a vice.
"No, Katniss, no, you can't go."
"Prim, let go," I say harshly, because this is upsetting me and I don't want to cry. When they televise the replay of the reapings tonight, everyone will make note of my tears and I'll be marked as an easy target. A weakling. I will give no one that satisfaction. "Let go." I can feel someone pulling her from my back. I turn and see Gale has lifted Prim off the ground and she's thrashing in his arms.
"Up you go, Catnip,"
he says, in a voice he's fighting to keep steady. And then he carries Prim off toward my mother. I steel myself and climb the steps.
"Well, bravo," gushes Effie Trinket. "That's the spirit of the games." She's pleased to finally have a district with a little action going on in it. "What's your name?"
I swallow hard. "Katniss Everdeen," I say.
"I bet my buttons that was your sister. Don't want her to steal all the glory, do we? Come on, everybody, let's give a big round of applause to our newest tribute," trills Effie Trinket.
To the everlasting credit of the people of District 12, not one person claps. Not even the ones holding betting slips, the ones who are usually beyond caring. Possibly because they know me from the hob, or knew my father, or have encountered Prim, who no one can help loving. So instead of acknowledging applause, I stand there unmoving while they take part in the boldest form of dissent they can manage. Silence, which says we do not agree. We do not condone. All of this is wrong. Then something unexpected happens. At least I don't expect it because I don't think of District 12 as a place that cares about me. But a shift has occurred since I stepped up to take Prim's place. And now it seems I have become someone precious. At first one, then another, then almost every member of the crowd touches the three middle fingers of their left hand to their lips and holds it out to me. It is an old and rarely used gesture of our district, occasionally seen at funerals. It means thanks. It means admiration. It means goodbye to someone you love. Now I am truly in danger of crying. But fortunately, Haymitch chooses this time to come staggering across the stage to congratulate me.
"Look at her, look at this one," he hollers, throwing an arm around my shoulders.
He's surprisingly strong for such a wreck.
"I like her."
His breath reeks of liquor, and it's been a long time since he's bathed.
"Lots of..."
He can't think of the word for a while.
"Spunk,"
he says triumphantly.
"More than you."
He releases me and starts for the front of the stage.
More than you, he shouts, pointing directly into a camera.
Is he addressing the audience, or is he so drunk he might actually be taunting the Capitol?